Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 189. We are approaching the big one. Mm. And obviously we'll be doing, as we always do, you know, a really big show for the 200. Yeah.
What did we do for the last 200?
Fuck all. So today we have got Chris, Andy and Tom.
Hello.
Now, I have got a show fact for 189. And I actually quite like this one. Now it was the Sources Football World, right? Which is got a page on Facebook.
Credible.
They got 20,000 likes. Oh. So a couple more than us. Only a couple.
Big boys.
So how many likes have we got?
About four.
That's all four of us.
Yeah.
So. But I like this. So for the football season. 2012-2013, so obviously not last season, the season before, there was 189 English players that played in the English Premier League compared to 332 players, Spanish players, sorry, that played in La Liga in the same season.
And have they got 18 or is it 20 in the league? Teams.
They've got 20 as well.
Yeah, it's 20.
Wow. So,
yeah. And is that people registered in squads, or is that actual people played?
Played minutes. Right, so 189 English players played in the 12-13 season. I couldn't find the stats for last season, annoyingly, how many played. But according to Spreadex, which is like the spread betting company, they predict that for the opening
Premiership
weekend, that they say between 66 and 69, they reckon 68 of the 220 possible places will be English.
Well, Steve Bruce is probably going to have 10 of them for Hull, isn't he?
Well, Hull's only three they've got down. Chester, Davies and Graham they've got as potential starters.
Liverpool,
yeah, but you can add
injury.
This Livermore, Huddleston,
Bruce's son. Bruce.
Yeah, and then there's a few home nations as well, aren't there? Like Snodgrass and what's Shane Long, Northern Ireland,
Ireland,
Republic of Ireland.
So it's English. This is on the mail actually. Palace, who've got six, they reckon that could potentially start. But yeah, so it's not. Well, it was quite an interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
And it obviously brings up the debate of not enough English players.
It will rage on, won't it?
I think the main problem, like going back to, I remember watching European football when the old two foreigners rule was in. I think the main problem with that was it was so soon after English football hadn't been in Europe and the Premier League had started that there was sort of a free for all on foreigners. That's why it sort of held them back a little bit. It didn't really hold them back that much. I mean, you look at United team that did well there. They had Kenton, I was always picked, and they had one of a few others. Kanchelskis.
Michael was one of the foreigners as well, wasn't he?
They had a brunt of English side, and they did pretty well with it, so I wouldn't see a bad thing of bringing that back in.
Absolutely. I mean, they made a good point, though, that when you look at some like the price you can get for foreign players compared to English players, obviously, which is huge. Talking about Man City buying Navas, a World Cup winner, for 15 million. Hmm. Wilfred Zaha bought by Man United for 15 million.
Yes.
And you look at
that's a direct comparison, isn't it? On the wing, really.
Both wingers, both young. It's like, and then you start thinking.
I actually think Zaha's a pretty good player. He's just having a chance.
It's a tired cliche, isn't it?
We don't know the reasons behind it, but sort of looking at the facts, game time he got compared to.
But do you think
he's not a World Cup winner? But
do you think it's sort of a case then? Kind of nose off, spite their face, the wrong analogy probably, but because there's so few Englishmen in the Premier League, then the English cost more. So because they're not playing more English, that's why they cost more.
I was a bit surprised that Rodwell cost him 10 mil. I mean, again, he's been largely untested at City, and he's had a lot of injuries. And
he's got no hamstrings.
He had a lot of promise at Everton, didn't he? But, you know, yeah, he's made a glass in his legs. But 10 million's a lot of... that's a gamble on someone who is potentially going to be positive for your club massively. He's a box-to-box player, but and probably can fill in at centre-back as well. That's what Gus Poyet needs at Sunderland. Fuck me, that's a lot of money to spend
for someone
on
like City, though. Pocket money, isn't really 10 million. So it's
they've sold him.
Sunderland.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
10 million for Sunderland.
Yeah.
Which is not pocket money.
No. I think they've done really well because I think he cost about 15, didn't he? So it's rare that City get 75%
of their
money. But
you look at him when he was at Everton and just how good he was.
Yeah, I'm really past that.
Do you know, it's interesting to see that.
Looked good.
When you look at players. The reason for their injuries, because is it to do with the management, the training, something? You look at,
talking about that, you ever get that sport, the free magazine on a Friday to give out on a tune?
I'm a literature man, mate. I read my books.
Well, he got an article now. You know the ex England international prop forward, I think he was.
Who, sorry?
Flats, he's called David Flatley or something. I don't know. Big rugby fella. But he said just as he'd retired, they brought in genetic testing on the medical staff, where they could test you for what type of injuries you would be more likely to get during your career as a rugby player. And they said he'd retired, but it was just at the end, and they said, you know, without knowing the history of the player, they checked him DNA-wise, whatever else they did, and they told him, right, your size, your build, the way you are, you'll have shoulder problems. He hadn't said a word to him. He had his shoulder reconstructed 3 times during his career.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Surely that should be brought into football, money in football, and be able to say, right, you've got a hamstring issue that's always going to happen. You need extra work on your yoga or something.
Don't do this type of training. Well, that's interesting, but... You're over there, Chris? Just more interested in your cigarette packet?
Lloyd Remy's an interesting one.
So you literally said the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say.
Yeah, because he's failed this medical, isn't he? And they're blaming it on a problem which has always been there and hasn't... I mean, yeah, it's never stopped him from being, you know, a multi-million pound signing for other teams that he's...
Did all right at the World Cup, didn't he? But it's a heart problem.
Yeah.
What is that?
We've got a small hole in his heart or something, isn't he?
I can't be that because
no.
I had a friend that was born with a hole in the heart, and then they had to have like operations and stuff like that. So I know you wouldn't be able to play football, but
that's what inconsistent heartbeat or something like that. I don't know.
It seems to do all right at the moment, didn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, everyone's going to worry about the Mark Hughes Fowler issue when it's anything to do with a heart. You've got to worry about that. But he's been playing fine. He's at the World Cup, okay. You wonder whether it's a reason not to sign him for something else rather than that.
Cheap as well, though.
Yeah, true.
On the grand scheme of things, but
I think you know it's possibly you know Liverpool's loss in QPR's game because QPR definitely need a player like him in the Premier League this season.
Him
you
and Tarrat, aren't they the two that they're trying to?
How the hell did Tarrat go and play for AC Milan? How the hell has that happened?
No.
I remember an interview with Redknapp. I think when he took over at QPR. Telling him that Tarrat came into his office saying I should be playing for AC Milan and whatever, and he laughed him out the office near enough, and then I turned on BT Sport to see fucking AC Milan last season Adel Wanky Tarrat.
That's his full name.
Spinning in circles, not beating anyone, scoring one wonder goal every 6 months.
Kevin Prince Boateng's a starter over there, isn't he? But he's actually scored some incredible goals for
him. Where's he now? Schalke.
Has he gone to Germany?
But that just shows the side Seedorf's inherited our poor AC Milan.
Yeah, totally.
But a championship player, and that's what Tarrat's been over here, hasn't he? He's never been a regular in any
Premiership
side. So he's a championship player basically over here, and he's a starter. Well, not a starter, but played a fair few games for AC Milan.
Speaking of underperforming and uphill challenges.
Might as well
just go because we're going to go on to the Football League, which obviously starts this weekend.
We're excited about that.
You're excited.
I'm fucking ecstatic.
However, let's first of all talk about the football that's happening next, should we say.
Tonight. Tom Hunter.
Which is the second leg of Celtic's second round qualifying, is it? Against Legia Warsaw, where unfortunately they lost the away leg 4-1. We're having a little chat on watched it earlier. Yeah. On a little, I am really disappointed it's not on TV.
Yeah. Any Warsaw West. Missed two penalties in that first
They
game.
Missed one. One was saved.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh, as in, two non-converted penalties.
One missed completely.
But you went down to 10 men, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
How early?
44th minute, 46th.
You went 1-0 up, didn't you?
So, yeah. Yeah. McGregor got the goal as well, the youngster.
Yeah. Shut up, Chris.
And yeah, then it just went absolutely tits up. I didn't watch the game, unfortunately. Again, it was on nowhere, really. But mates of mine watched it and said Celtic were abysmal. They were so poor. And good on him. Ronnie slagged them right off after the game, saying no commitment, not enough energy, just a poor side.
I
saw the highlights, and it was such... You think 10 men, it was the most open game I've seen. They had the one lone striker chasing the goalkeeper. I mean, and this is like, they scored two goals in the 83rd and 92nd minute.
Oh, shit. You think, so you're thinking, 2-1 down, 10 men, sharp
get
shot.
Get every man in the box and just stand there for the last 10 minutes. All right, maybe not that. But.
So it's a big European night.
Well, the problem is Celtic are a Europa League side at the moment.
You punch above your weight, yeah.
But we need the Champions League money. Because one of the reasons you know that Neil Lennon left is because of the money. So Ronnie's not going to get a penny unless it's decided whether we're Champions League or Europa League. Personally, I think we've got a good chance of doing it tonight, you know. Even though it's at Murrayfield, get a few fans, early goal, and Legia Warsaw.
You've got to pack the place, haven't you? You've got to pack the place, make it a proper atmosphere, get the players realising that. Actually, their season sort of rests on a performance tonight, doesn't it? I mean, even if you don't win 3-0.
Yeah, well, it's an article already in today, saying that if we lose tonight, Forster's gone to Southampton for £8 million. That's it, done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big enough incentive, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was we've talked about this before. You know, this brings on to one of the listener questions that we asked. Now, Daniel Greenfield used to, for some reason, want to start on me all the time. He's moved on to you, Tom, for some reason.
And
bearing in mind...
He hates all of us.
Bearing in mind, we posted a photo last week or the week before, and so he's seen what Tom looks like. But for some reason, he just wants it. He asked, on the next show, can you gauge opinion on how woeful Celtic were in getting knocked out of the Champions League before it's even begun? A little bit presumptuous, Daniel.
Yeah.
There is a second leg tonight. What level would you pitch them at in the English league? I'd say they'd be level mid-table in the Championship. But size of the support, history, I mean, I'm not going to... I mean, it's just going to make you angry, Tom. I'm just going to stop reading this, to be honest.
Everyone's got their own opinion. If you're talking financially, then yeah, unfortunately, Championship, even mid to upper Championship, financially...
Are you at this very moment in time,
what we can compete.
Do you think? Really?
Yeah, well, you're talking about our top... bought player, I think it was Virgil van Dijk, for about 2.7 million.
And he's going, isn't he? He's going to be off.
Yeah. So that is
Championship side spend a lot more money than that one.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Players.
So if we're looking at that, and you know salaries will be mid or lower than that, then, you know, financially that's what we're at. But I still say we're a Premiership club. Because you look at the support and you look at how they bring people through. I mean, it's only he can slag Celtic off all he wants, but I know it may be one-off games. But we've beaten Barcelona at home, we've beaten AC Milan.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, so
at a club of your stature, if you do get in the Premier League, then the money will come in because you get in the TV sponsorship and you will be signing players. I mean, Dan just said the money being spent in the Championship is ridiculous. Fulham have signed a player for £11 million this season. That's a lot of money.
Which brings me on to Leeds. Actually, there was a good article on. I realise it's an oxymoron, but a good article on the Daily Mail. But about Massimo Cellino and stuff. I didn't know that much about him, the new owner.
Oh, right, yeah.
He is fucking mental.
He's bonkers, isn't he?
He's already been convicted for fraud and all this sort of thing, but he's back in again.
John Day's been talking about this.
He's brought in one of the lads in the
office. Has he got rid of McDermott?
Yeah, McDermott's gone. He's brought in Dave Hockaday, who was manager of non-league Forest Green Athletic, or Forest Green Rovers, or something like that, who was on apparently a tenth of the salary that McDermott was on. One of my favourite things is that new signings are forbidden from staying at the Malmaison Hotel in the city centre because the hotel's colour scheme is purple. A colour that Chilino believes is bad luck. Well, I made a bit of racket over there, aren't I? So,
normally it's us, though.
That's Leeds. I mean, Leeds is someone I'm going to pay quite a bit of attention to this year.
I'll tell you, the opening round of fixtures this weekend, you want to look at Leeds Millwall. Yeah. Leeds Millwall at Millwall this Saturday. Right?
Well,
you wouldn't
Millwall
want to be a copper at that game.
No, you wouldn't. But Millwall were on a downslide as well, aren't they, at the moment? So it could be a 6-6 draw, or it could be a drubbing. You never know.
I'll tell
either
you what,
way.
Just before we do move on to this weekend, so we've mentioned Wednesday, but there's also a couple of British teams in the Europa League on Thursday. So you've got St Johnstone, who are trailing Spartak Trnava 2-1 after the first leg, but the away leg is now in Slovakia, so they're 2-1 down. Good luck to Johnston.
Yep.
Hull 0-0 against AS Trondheim.
But that's a home Hull have got, haven't they?
Yeah, the 0-0 draw was fucking atrocious.
Apparently so.
Away, yeah.
Well, apparently Bruce said that he played his played the players who sort of got them there last season and left a lot of the players that he's brought in on the bench, but he did bring them off and he brought the new players on.
Huddleston missed an absolute centre about it. Huddleston did a Torres, as they now like to call it.
Yeah, well, I really hope Hull get the results tonight. So good luck, Steve Bruce, and the lads there. And Aberdeen are facing a tough one. They're trailing 2-0 after the first leg. They're at home against Real Sociedad tonight. Good luck, Aberdeen, as well. Let's see what happens to the home
We've got the Charity
team.
Shield on Saturday as well. Arsenal City.
Hello, you woken up, have you?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Hello, yeah, nice you to join us.
Anyone who does actually download the show, Chris has been here from the start.
You're going to turn into the new Stuart Orr if you're not careful.
Sorry.
Come on.
But yeah, it's obviously a bit of a non-cut, but I think City will probably win it. It's just a chance to show off, isn't it? Show off new signings.
Well, talking about non-games, there's the main new Liverpool out in America.
Talking of the other non-games as well, was Spurs 6-1 humping of Celtic.
Yeah, 10 but, men again. Guess who it was who got sent off?
Same guy.
Effie Ambrose.
No!
I didn't see that.
Yeah, apparently my sister watched the game. She said he got sent off as well, didn't he? But he played the kids.
He did play the kids. Well, this is it. Well, they've actually... The Finnish FA...
Yeah.
Basically fuming at Celtic, because obviously it's a big debate, isn't it? It was something that was organised by Neil Lennon last year. You know, it was slap bang in the middle of, you know, two of the most important games in Celtic season.
Yeah.
So not only did they send the third team, basically Ronnie DeLulu didn't even go.
Didn't he?
No, he didn't even. He stayed and trained with the first team while he sent a load of kids. So you can understand why, you know, the Finnish FA, they've held it in Helsinki. They've put on, you know, big English team, big Scottish team, you know, and
so
the Spurs team.
That would piss you off, and rightly so.
It's a shame, because I'm going to Spurs Schalke on Saturday, like the last friendly before the season starts, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be a decent game.
He should play his first 11 there, shouldn't he?
It'll be very close too. Yeah.
I was going to ask, is Townsend?
Yes.
Is Townsend going to be playing?
I don't know if he'll get in the team, but he has been playing. Yeah. But
you want to see a first team, wouldn't you?
I was a bit gutted, because looking at the pre-season, obviously the Spurs playing in America and Canada and stuff, there were some decent games, and it looked like it was a good tour, but I was looking at the Celtic game and the Schalke game to be sort of the two big games for pre-season, and obviously it was just a bit of a shame that apart from the fact that...
A bit of a walkover, against the kids.
But you can understand, it is understandable with...
But yeah, I mean, that's just a shame of a load of things, that Celtic have to go through three qualifying rounds when they've got to the last 16 recently, more than once.
You did get a pretty tough team in, you know, Warsaw and no slouches. They've scored four goals against you.
Could have been
more. It's rare that teams put four past Celtic, top of them.
Going back to what you were saying, though, about the pre-season and Liverpool Man United last night, that Champions Cup, they say it's, you know, the most prestigious pre-season friendly tournament, blah, blah, blah. It's been fucking good, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was, Sunday night, I think it was, from about 6 o'clock in the evening to about midnight, they had hour-long back-to-back of highlights of nearly all of the games that have been played.
I sat Sunday night on my own,
fucking sat there and just enjoyed back-to-back with every game, and there's been some fucking great games. Like, I tell you what, as pre-season tournaments go,
Because Rooney's playing well, isn't he?
Rooney's playing very well.
It seems odd that Van Gaal's complained about it. He said he didn't like it, the length or the...
He was talking about their... their
media
commitment stuff.
Oh,
so like the fact that they had to ride round in a Cherokee and a Jeep Cherokee, they had to go visit the fucking Twinkie factory, they had to go, like, it was stuff like that. He was like, there's too many commitments. Like, he was like, I'm here to play football and learn about my team, not go and stand and have pictures with.
To be fair to him as well, he'd really like to just be at Carrington, wouldn't he? He'd like to be at the training ground.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he'd just taken over. He'd prefer to have a pre-season at home.
Yeah, which is understandable.
He's been in the World Cup. Now he's on this bloody parasol of a fucking
pre-season. He's probably really,
tour.
Really...
knackered.
Yeah.
What's
it called? Oh, I can't remember.
Homesick.
No, the other one. Flight, jet travel, lag. Jet, that's it. Well,
jet
lag. Yeah.
Right.
Place.
Weekend.
Yeah, right, we'll
it's the lower league.
Briefly, for about 3 minutes now, talk about the other football that goes on outside of the main leagues.
Should we start with the Championship?
Yeah.
Right, so according to Bet365...
Now, I'm going to keep cutting you off every now and again so you don't go on for about an hour.
No.
Just letting you know.
But a lot of our listeners do support real football, which is football which happens outside of the Premier League.
True, yep. But not all of them want to listen to you rant on 5 minutes.
I'm not ranting.
I'm Joe, come on, don't smile. Go.
I'm smiling as I talk. So, apparently, according to Bet365, and the bookies rarely get it wrong, Cardiff and Derby are joint favourites at 7-1 to get promotion. Fulham 9-1, Wigan 9-1, Norwich 10-1, Middlesbrough 12-1. So we'll leave that on the odds. But no real surprises there.
A Blackpool up there, Andy.
Well, actually, as you've mentioned Blackpool, right... Can we have a big old shout out? And I think if there's one other team that we really follow this year, I feel sorry for poor old Jose Riga, right? So the Blackpool manager. He has been working with 8 players for most of the pre-season. 27
and hang on,
players left.
No, hang on. So that brings me on to a listener question.
Okay.
So this was Johnny Rivers. Asked how's Blackpool's squad come together. I haven't heard much about it since they had 8 players.
Right.
So I had a little look. Well,
they have got a squad now. They've got about 23 players.
Bearing in mind,
they've done a port.
No, they haven't got 23 players. And I went on to the club website about an hour ago. So
BBC have got 23 players registered for them.
No, but that's not for the first team. I think that's as in the entire squad.
It's the entire squad.
So the actual first team squad, right? Bearing in mind that the Championship kicks off this weekend.
Yeah. They signed a goalkeeper this morning.
This morning. I think it was either yesterday or this morning. They have a goalkeeper. They have no goalkeeper on the books. So they've now
Joe
got...
Joe Lewis they've signed.
Yeah, so they've now got... they've now got... David Perkins, midfielder. Gary McKenzie, defender. Stephen Davies, striker. Bobby Grant, striker. Nathan Alfonso, striker. Sergei Zenov, striker. All right, lads, I think you need to look at your squad a bit here. Tom Barkusian, striker. Tony McMahon, Charles Dunn, Peter Clark, defenders. Jacob Mellis and Tom... Try and pronounce that. Midfielders and Joe Lewis, the goalkeeper. They have as registered as on their website as an actual first team players. 12.
Add one more to that. Breaking news just before we came down here, and I did look at this.
Good lad.
John Lundstrom, who signed on loan from don't know where he signed from Everton. Good midfielder, apparently box to box. So look, come on, Jose Riga.
13 players they have. So obviously, I think the, like you're saying, Anne, the 23 includes obviously the squads.
Yeah.
So they will be able to field a team.
But majority of them are obviously going to be strikers.
Ferguson had 4 or 5 of them on the pitch any one time. Don't worry about
new
it.
System 3-1.
Five.
Anyway,
that's not too good.
Poor old
Carl Oyston, the owner, sort it out. Jose Riga, come on, and Blackpool fans, I think
we're all up for parachute payments, shouldn't they?
If you will, sorry.
Premier League parachute payments, so they shouldn't be in that bad.
No, they've done now. I think they've just had their last one.
But even if they have, that should have tied them over.
Well,
surely.
Going back
this
to Carl Oyston, the owner, where has all the fucking money gone? And we've talked about that before. You know, Charlie Adams, £12 million went in. Vaughan, they got about £8 million for him.
Ince anyway. Must have got money for.
Yeah.
No, he left on a free. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
How does someone let that happen?
Yeah.
Blackpool are 200-1 to get promotion, and they're favourites at 4-7 to be relegated. And they start the season away at Forest, which isn't a great opening fixture. And of the people who, of the teams who were in the playoffs last season, didn't go up: Derby, Brighton. Dan, we know you're a big fan of Brighton, and Wigan. So there's always a surprise package in the Championship.
Noah Lua for Brighton. Where'd he go? He went to, where's Lua gone? He's playing in the Premier League.
Not sure.
Who's come up? Leicester. He's gone to Leicester.
So there is always a surprise package in each league. Who do we think the surprise package is going to be from the Championship? Well, do you know what? Wouldn't we fucking love that? All right, let's go with Blackpool. And if not, Brentford. Go on, the bees.
No food.
Okay, on to League One. League One. Right, this is amazing.
This is literally Andy's, like, absolute... He's sat there with a massive boner right now. This is the league show.
Not
brought
really,
to you by Andy Franks. And this is your... This is your moment. Go.
Thanks, guys. League One, amazingly, and I say the bookies are all never wrong, or rarely wrong. Sheffield United are favourites for promotion this season at 5-1.
That's quite exciting.
But I don't know where I'd get that. I mean, they've been in the same Sheffield league for 3 or 4 years.
They've got a bit of money to spend, you know.
Bristol City, they've got a little bit of money behind them, 15-2. Preston 8-1, Orient 9-1. Bearing in mind, Orient were the form team and then not the form team last season and missed out narrowly in the playoffs. Peterborough, a lot of money behind them at 9-1. Doncaster came down from...
First game of the season for Jills, I see.
Well,
against Staples' nemesis, and MK Dons.
Yeah, MK Dons, he's going to it as well, actually. Yeah. Quite a big game, I would say. The interesting thing about Saturday for League One is you've got Yeovil against Doncaster, two of the relegated teams from the Championship last season, who got promoted the season before last.
Basically a six-pointer in the first game of the season, one might say.
You could call it that. Favourites for relegation in League One: Crewe 11-8, Colchester 11-8, and Port Vale 2-1. Good luck, those teams. Hedge your bet on who they think might be the surprise package in League One. I'd love to see Fleetwood back-to-back promotions. That'd be interesting.
Mainly for the headlines.
Chesterfield and Scunthorpe went up as well.
Well, hang on. Oh my God, sorry, mate. Chris is going to speak. That's fucking a moment.
If Fleetwood get relegated, Fleetwood back as the headline. Oh, see you later, lads.
Chris has spoken, and I tell you what, he could write headlines for any tabloid in national press.
Can you just sit there and just come up with some one-liners, please?
Yeah. Also, keep your eyes on Coventry. They did really, really well to avoid relegation last season. So maybe
still be in business, they did quite well.
Maybe Blackpool can have the same sort of luck that Coventry had, although Coventry started very well at the start of last season. I think Blackpool need to make sure they don't start the season with some heavy defeats. So let's move on to League Two, chaps, as I know you're absolutely...
I can't tell you how exciting this is.
Actually, your face just says it all, Dan. Okay, so in League Two, the teams that got promoted...
And Clinton Stanley!
The teams that got promoted are Luton, Cambridge, not sure who else went up, but Luton and Cambridge.
This is your moment, Anne. You're supposed to know everything about the Football League.
Well, they've gone up anyway. And the favourites to go up are actually Bury. Now, interestingly, Bury were on the brink. Bury were on the brink of administration. They were going to fold this time last year. They've managed to avoid all the problems financially. The owners have done really well. I tell you what, the local community around Bury has been really, really supportive. They're starting the season, according to Bet365, as favourites for promotion.
Excellent.
That's a massive turnaround for a club like Bury. Really, really pleased for them. Let's hope they do well.
I think Cheltenham are going to be the dark horses for me.
Why is that?
Shut up, Dan.
Leave the one line.
Flip-flop, Chris. Flip-flop. Interestingly,
Wimbledon could serve up some decent games.
When you look at League Two now, I have to say, you know, you've got some quite big teams down there. Tranmere, maybe not that many big teams. Tranmere, Portsmouth, teams who have been right up the top there. AFC Wimbledon, we'd like to see them do well, I think.
We definitely would, yeah.
We all like to see a real football club do well. Favourites for relegation to down out of the professional leagues, Morecambe, Accrington, Stanley and Exeter. We don't want Stanley to go down, do we?
No.
So anyway, look, that's enough for me on the lower leagues.
I really wish we were any good at like editing stuff, because we could definitely have gone, and now over to Andy Franks for the Football League review. Yeah. Coming this weekend, but we can't.
And then we could have just edited it out.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Or dear.
Hello, Chris.
Sorry.
Come on. I've got a couple of listeners' questions here. I think my favourite, without a doubt, is from Meester Salmon. He wants to know things you'd need to say to Ravel Morrison for him to assault you.
He's such a naughty boy.
Who, Meester Salmon? Or,
no, boy, Ravel Morrison.
He's a naughty,
naughty boy.
Boy
of the week.
He is a naughty boy.
I'm sure you wouldn't have to say much, to be honest.
Yeah. I think that is the general consensus. Yeah. Hello, mate. Up, foul. Yeah, so that was... I mean, we can do a whole...
And you'd have to be female, probably, as well.
Got to be female. Well, I think that's... Oh, there you go. That's a factor. Got to be female.
Yeah.
Got to be...
in a nightclub, or the mother of a girl in a nightclub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preferably drunk as well, yeah.
Yeah, that helps. Moving on. Ian Smith asked us, I think it's more of a statement than a question, but how about Brendan Rodgers' front in offering Van Gaal advice on his first year of the Premier League?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a bit...
Nothing surprises me about Brendan Rodgers. Ever since I took the test... Who says the following? Is it David Brent or Brendan Rodgers? And I couldn't tell.
It is fucking brilliant. I mean, that was a Mirror Football one, wasn't it?
I don't know, I think so.
Yeah. So it's from the behind the scenes thing that they did at Liverpool,
funny,
wasn't
though.
It? Yeah, he so came out with some brilliant pieces.
He's got a point though, definitely.
I mean, yeah, he is getting his cock out a little bit, isn't he? Sort of going, oh, he's going to find it really hard. Apart from the fact that, I've read stuff from Van Gaal who's already said, I'm really looking forward to the Premier League because it's like no other league when top can beat bottom and you never know what's going on. And Brendan Rodgers has come out and gone, oh, he doesn't know what he's in for. He doesn't know that top can beat bottom at any time.
Yeah, what he says.
Actually, I'm afraid, Brendan, that's exactly what he knows. Thanks, guys, for sending those questions.
I've got a couple of things.
Go on.
A couple of quick ones. Interestingly, and this is probably more recently off the back of Paul Ladd, who took a sort of concussion injury in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So new FA guidelines are in place for this season. So any loss of consciousness or even suspected loss of consciousness means that a player must leave the field and he won't be able to return. And they'll keep checking him out every 48 hours.
Do you reckon they're going to... bring in an automatic substitution for that? Because say if you use your three subs, then somebody gets knocked out.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And it's not his fault.
Very, very
the team's
point.
Being penalised for that.
Yeah, but don't...
Will they be able to replace him if it's a knockout?
That's 100% so, I think.
Yeah.
No, I just think that, you know, a manager should always keep a substitute aside for the last 10 minutes. You know, that's part of the tactical...
No, the substitutes are there to be used. It's not your fault then if you go in for a header and the keeper punches in your head and it's one of those things.
But you're making the manager's life a little bit easier by doing that, you know.
Yeah, true. You know, but still, you'd be penalised for something that isn't your fault.
Took the piss out of me being at a festival and the reason I was ill last week. Turns out I had a concussion after getting smacked in the back of the head by the goalkeeper on Monday night. And honestly, that was one of the innocuous challenges. I've been hitting on a scale of 1 to 10, on, you know, times I've been hitting the head and how hard, that was probably a 3 for me. Like, it hurt a bit, but back of the head, you know, free kick coming in, yeah. I'm going to clear the header. Keeper, he's a fucking lump as well. He's come straight through, flying in, punched it, and I've got caught in the back of the head. I didn't think anything of it. I was ill for the next 4 days. Like, dizziness, like, couldn't stand. Like, I didn't get knocked out. Like, I just thought it hurt a bit.
Yeah, well, it's a very good idea, then, isn't it? I think it really is.
Talking of World Cup injuries, Neymar is back in training.
Hang on, who had a World Cup injury?
Well, we're talking about players that are injured, aren't we? World Cup injuries. Their concussion. He had a concussion and he played on in the World Cup. We were talking about that a minute ago.
Fucking someone wake him up earlier.
No, Neymar's back in training.
Right, okay.
So he can feel his legs now.
Well, yeah. Thank God for that.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying. Sorry.
Thanks for the note. Right, so we're going to come back to Chris from now on for one-liners and Neymar injury updates.
Yeah.
Right, don't get upset.
Well, you're saying mean things, aren't you?
Christopher. On a note, poor old Carlisle. poor old Collar. Has anyone heard about what's happened?
Belinda?
No, not your old boss.
Belinda Collar.
Has anyone heard what's happened to Carlisle?
No.
Right, so their kit manufacturer, Sondico, has still not managed to send them the team their first team shirts for the weekend.
Brilliant.
But apparently, they're due to receive them on Thursday. The first team should have them before their first game against Luton on Saturday.
I mean,
that's
happened to me before, but I'm not a fucking...
Yeah,
I'm not a professional outfit.
Who brought a kit?
Not good enough in Sondico. But on this... Supporters, I mean, if you're a supporter of a club and you like going to watch your home team play...
You'd like to think so.
You want to wear your shirt, right? Yeah. So the club shop haven't been able to sell them yet. They won't be able to sell them for about 2 weeks.
Money-wise, yeah.
So one thing Sondico have done is that they're going to distribute about 3,500 blue T-shirts for the game so that home fans can wear club colours for
the first game. That'll cost them like 50p a... On to that.
That's terrible.
Don't know if anyone mentioned it last time, or at any point we might have mentioned it though. On shirts, James Rodriguez, in the first weekend that he'd been signed, they clawed back 10% of the transfer fee in shirt sales alone.
Wow. Like, I hope he does well. I can't wait to watch a bit of Sky Sports 5 this season. It's going to be great.
Bale's Thunder Bastard the weekend as well. It's fucking. He's wearing a stupid Alice band, though, wanker. Love you, Gareth. One of the funniest stories
you
I saw last week.
Though, don't you?
Oh, mate, he's just. I love it.
We'll be here all day.
Yeah, we'll be all day. One of the best stories, without a doubt, that I was going to talk about last week, but it feeds in very nicely to this week, is from the Copa Libertadores, I believe. Well, Copa Libertadores, which it was well reported last week that the San Lorenzo players, before the second leg of their semi-final. Which the first they won the first leg 5-0, so you're thinking shouldn't be a problem. But they were playing the Estadio Hernando Siles, which is world renowned for being the highest football stadium in the world that FIFA permit international games to be held at, just shy of 12,000 feet above sea level. And do you know how they prepared to counteract
I've got this. It's got to be the little blue pill, isn't it?
Yes, 10 points. To increase,
it's got to be the little blue pill.
Blood flow. They all
is
had
that
Viagra.
Legal?
Yes. Because the
what do the pills do?
The main, it increases blood
Come
flow.
Come on, Chris.
And give them huge erections.
I wish I'd taken a picture of your face then. You just said guilty.
But no, this at the same place, I think it was like Messi had to get taken off or threw up. Di Maria, when he played there, similar sort of thing happened. Had to have oxygen afterwards.
Yeah,
So they end up losing 1-0, but obviously that meant they won 5-1 aggregate, and they now face Nacional in the final tomorrow night. And it's the first time that either of the teams in their club's history have got to the final. So
I bet all of their other halves got a fucking great night as well. All of their other halves had a great night. So everyone's happy all round.
I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Randy bastards.
Clement Foot. Do you remember we discussed
the female coach?
Very
that
good. Very
the
good.
French team.
She lost her first game in charge. Unfortunately, they lost 2-1 against Brest.
you didn't even know.
Sometimes they just give you a goal.
Yep,
They went 1-0 up, but unfortunately she lost 2-1. But I think we'll keep an eye on it.
You reckon her next door neighbours refer to her family as Lafitte?
As Lafitte.
Lafitte. You know, the feet next door. Anyway, carry on.
Thanks, mate. I told you to have some decent one-liners. But anyway. Messi's new hairdo. Looks a bit like Kim Jong-un. Just going to leave that there.
Well, what about Robbie Savage?
We were meant to talk about this a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we did talk about it today. What do you think, Chris?
I still think he's a cunt.
Would he get into a bar in Hoxton?
No.
Would he get into a bar in Hoxton?
Not if I was in there.
Not if you were in there.
we've talked about USA football quite a bit recently and about how it's rising and
getting
all this sort
bigger,
of
thing. Yeah.
Now I watched Houston Dynamo against DC United a couple of nights ago. One of the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen.
You need a girlfriend, no, Dan. Fuck, you know.
Yeah, watching like Jay Lee.
Just love football. But there was nothing on. And it was on. And honestly, it was 0-0. Someone scored in the last minute. It was defensive calamities. I genuinely back myself to be able to play in the MLS.
Talking
it
about America.
Fucking dog
you should
shit.
Just watch a bit of man versus food or whatever it is. That's more interesting than a bit of that.
I mean, it is terrible. Yeah, Giles,
that
I don't know,
fuck
Giles,
is eating big burgers.
More of a
Giles,
challenge.
Speaking of that, Giles Barnes. Old ex Derby, young rising star,
yeah.
He was supposed to be. He's over there playing for Dynamo. But yeah, it was fucking shit, to be honest. And it actually made me lose a lot of faith in the MLS. this just in. Ezekiel Levetsi?
Yeah.
Is it Ezekiel Levetsi?
Yeah,
his homemade porn pictures have been leaked onto the internet. Banter.
Wow.
And biggest news, I think,
is it revenge
today,
porn?
No, it's not revenge. It's actually him looking really happy in it. So I think
he's done a little blue pill.
Or he might have done a Lauren Goodyear, whatever it is, and leaked his own sex tape just for a bit of publicity.
Wow.
To get him moved to...
Classy.
To, yeah.
I think we know what the show picture's going to be this week.
Howard Webb. His refereeing career is over. I didn't know this.
What's happened? He's retired?
Yeah, he's
injured?
He's been appointed the technical director... of Professional Game Match Officials Limited. Now, I haven't got a fucking clue what that means.
It's obviously a lot more money than what he's earning now.
Yeah, but he is basically, after 20 years, I think he said 25
yeah.
years, 20 years,
yeah.
He is, that's it.
Calling
he,
it
right.
a day.
Probably
a lot,
so, lot less pressure, a bit, loads more money.
I imagine, yeah, I think it's the PGMOL is what it's actually referred to as. But yeah, so I think he's,
he'll
just be up there with...
The Pidgemile.
Yeah, so we will not be seeing our web this year, which... I like Albert as a ref.
He's one of my favourite Howards.
He's one of your favourite Howards. Name
Who else is another favourite Howard of yours?
Howard Donald from Take That.
Surely Howard the Duck.
Oh, Howard the Duck from that shit film. And they're about top three. So, yeah.
Right.
Howard from Take That. Yeah. Is that as good as it gets?
Yeah.
Well, what about Tim Howard?
He swears it is defence
because he's got Tourette's. It's much more fun.
It has to be a first name, unfortunately. That's the criteria. That's my game. I made it up.
There was a really uplifting storyline of him and his Tourette's, wasn't there, the other day? Done of those, right? You know, like the
what was it?
No, but no, like his journey.
Yeah, Howard.
Right, but done like, you know, honestly, yeah, it's fantastic the way he does it.
But
it was
fucking journey, actually.
my fucking journey. But no, it was part of it was done in one of those like X Factor
bit of Coldplay on the
come on. We've got a Sepp Blatter controversial, possibly racist klaxon again.
Surprise.
Although actually read it.
Possibly
read
racist. No, he's as racist as they come.
No, in this particular incident.
Okay.
But I think it's quite interesting. It's quite good. It was after the post-conference Q&A session because the Women's Under-20 World Cup kicks off in Canada on Tuesday. It might have been yesterday.
Mm.
He's all over that. But anyway, so there'll be a short comment
sooner or later from him, isn't there?
But so he in the Q&A afterwards, it was put to him... in short, how does FIFA plan to promote women inside FIFA? So not just about women in football, it's women in the governing body.
Yeah.
And his reply, it's like it's got a lot of grief and what's the opposite? As in like
positivity.
Fucking fine one at all. But he basically said, these are all direct quotes. Football is very macho. He said, it's so difficult to accept women in the game, not playing the game, but in the governance. And he wasn't like saying it in a nasty way, he was sort of saying, as fact, football has been, you know, a very male-dominated society since. And he said, it's easy in basketball, it's easy in volleyball, it's easy in athletics, it's no problem. But in football, I don't know, there's something very reluctant. Because he's also talking, because he also got to say, because it's not him that necessarily picks the people, because it goes down to... He said, if you look at the organisation of FIFA, the president is elected by the Congress and all the other members of the executive are elected by the confederations. And the confederations would never propose a lady. So it's not like we all give him the shit, you know, like, you know, oh, but he's in charge of it, so therefore it's his fault. I'm don't get me wrong. he deserves a lot of shit.
Yeah, he does.
But he's also saying that the structure of FIFA in a way is that he's got no say in who gets put forward by the confederations. And he said it's something that they're really going to try and change. He said it took more than... He's a, this quote
well,
again.
I think
it took more than 100 years.
Of the women's game and areas, it's going to take a while, isn't it? It's only recently fully professional. In
well, we just spoke about the female coach a minute ago. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's exactly. only one, and they're all, you know, really.
And we're going to be keeping an eye on her because it's big in football that there's still female
coaches. Yeah, exactly.
Coach
so like. It's going to take a while, but
it's almost not we all sniggered at the headlines, didn't we?
Although, we were in the lift on the way down, I said I'd mention this. Becky, who worked on the floor with us, she went, "Where are you going?" She said, "Going to do the podcast." She went, "Any girls go?" I went, "No." She went, "Why not?"
I went, because
you know nothing about football. She went, "Yeah, I do. I know about the foul rule. I went, "The what?"
Foul rule.
You went, "The foul rule." No, not the foul rule, the offside rule. Yeah, well, you get a foul thing.
Okay. Apologies to any of our female listeners. But I went,
"Becky, I rest my case." obviously, that's only directed at
she
Becky.
She actually asked to play football Tuesdays as well.
She's just doing it because she wants it. If you can do it, I want to do it too.
She's winding you up. Yeah.
Oh, I know that, and I'm winding her up by publicly doing it on our podcast. I'm gonna Facebook her. I'm gonna tweet her. I'm gonna put her on her fucking desk.
Sure, I'll tell
you. Get to look at the website. No one else does.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Fuck me, we've waffled on for
that'll do
45 minutes. Yeah, that'll do. I've got so many bits of paper.
Coxon's back next week.
The married man.
Shit.
The married man is back next week.
Coxon's back next week. Premier League
we
review next
week. We
could
actually ramble on about a few subjects rather than being kept down to 2 minutes 33 seconds per subject.
Who's that? But yeah.
Oh dear. Oh,
anyway, he'll have a nice welcome.
So yeah, Premier League preview, review of all the lower leagues first weekend, and we'll know if Celtic are going to be in the Champions League proper or not.
Big, it's 190th show next week. Then, like you said, it'll be
plenty to talk about.
Plenty to talk
more
about.
More transfers. We haven't even talked about transfers this week, have we?
Pepe Reina to Munich.
Yeah.
Is a bit of an interesting one.
Well, there's talk of Boric going to Munich as well if they get Forster at Southampton.
Yeah,
and
a lot resting on tonight's game then.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know the score. Twitter at Football Podcast, Facebook The Football Podcast.
Review iTunes.
iTunes review. We love a review. We might even have a review, and I've got to stop saying review because please send us a review. And the website is
www.footballpodcast.tumblr.
That's it.
.com.
Thank you very much. We will be back next week with Coxon. And possibly, hopefully, not Staples. Cheers.
See ya.
Bye bye.